Matthew 22, beginning with the first verse. Jesus responded by telling still more stories. God's realm, he said, is like the sovereign who threw a wedding banquet for their child. And the ruler sent out servants to call in all the invited guests, but they wouldn't come. And the ruler sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, "Look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast." They only shrugged their shoulders and went off, one to weed a garden, another to work in the shop, and the rest, with nothing better to do, beat up on the messengers and actually killed some of them. The sovereign was outraged and sent the soldiers to destroy those thugs and level their city. And then the sovereign told the servants, "We have a wedding banquet all prepared, but no guests. The ones I invited weren't up to it. So go out into the busiest intersections in town and invite anyone you find to the banquet." And the servants went out into the streets and rounded up everyone that they laid eyes on, good and bad, regardless. And so the banquet was on, and every place in the room was filled. And when the sovereign entered and looked over the scene, they spotted a person who wasn't properly dressed and said, "Friend, how dare you come in here looking like that?" Now the person was speechless. And the sovereign told the servants, "Get this one out of here fast. Tie him up and ship him off to hell. And make sure that they don't get back in." That's what I mean when I say many get invited and only a few make it. Don't you hate this story? Nope. I mean, it goes from being really good to like, what just happened? You know, there's movies like that, right? You've watched that movie and you're sitting there and you're following along with the movie, and all of a sudden there's a scene in the movie and you just kind of sit there and go, what just happened? I mean, I know I was watching this, and I know that I was listening to this, and I know that Jesus was giving us an invite as to who belongs and who doesn't. You know, there's sermons being preached today about that first half of the sermon. People that were being what?
You lost it for a minute. It flashed.
All right, we're good.
We're back. Are we back? Hi. I'm sorry. Where was I? Oh, yeah. We're being... that's being preached about the fact that people that were invited to God's kingdom and didn't come. Right? And that's being used as... Are you ready for this? You know what that's being used for? That's being used for, you need to be in church. Right? You need to be participating. You need to be volunteering. Oh, yeah. And you need to be getting this out and taking everything that's in it and putting it in the offering basket, because if you don't do that, you don't support the church, then that evangelical guy is not going to get a $6 million plane, and he's not going to have his mansion, and all of those kinds of things. And then somebody like me comes along and says, you know, we ought to pay attention to who is invited. Not who turned it down, but who is invited. And you all have heard me talk about Tony Campolo before, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that he was he's a professor, and he's kind of an evangelical guy, very conservative for the most part. But he actually came around on the issue of homosexuality and realized that he had been misinformed about whether gay people belonged in the kingdom or not. And he tells a story that he had gone to a conference about how embracing God's reach is and what the church ought to be really about. And he went to this conference, and there was a little diner. He couldn't sleep. A little diner down from the hotel that he was staying at that was open all night, and he walked in there, and he ordered some coffee and, I don't know, some kind of dessert. And lo and behold, about 3:30 in the morning, all the prostitutes that had been working the streets on the other side of the hotel come walking into the diner. And they're there getting, I guess it was their lunch break, whatever the case might be, But they start chatting among themselves, right? And Tony is listening to the conversation. And one of them sits there and says, you know, tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. And all the other girls start mocking her and making fun of her and say, well, what is it? You think we ought to throw you a party for that? You're almost out the door. You're not going to be, you're too old. And the girl said, look, I didn't tell you that because I wanted anything. I've never had a party. Nobody's ever celebrated me. And they finished their meals and they walked off, and Tony took a sip out of his coffee and he looked at the guy behind the counter that owned the place. You know, the guy, you know what I'm talking about, in these old diners. He had a greasy t-shirt on. Looked like he hadn't changed it for a while. And Tony says to him, you know what? Do they come in here every night? Or every day? And the guy said, well, yeah, they're here like clockwork, 3:30. And he said, well, the one that's about to have a birthday, he says, oh, that's Andreana. Yeah, she's here right with the rest of the group every day, 3:30. Tony says, you know what? I think we ought to throw her a birthday party. Tomorrow's her birthday. And the guy looked at him, and he got kind of this evil smile on his face. He says, you know, that's not a bad idea. And he picks up the phone, and he calls his wife, and he says, Tony's here, and he wants to throw a birthday party for the prostitutes. And his wife said, hey, that's a great idea. I'll bake a cake. So the next day, they've got the entire place decked out. At the early hours of the morning, it's all decked out, and they're waiting for them to come in. And just like clockwork, in come the prostitutes at about 3:25, and then at 3:30, in walks Andreana, and everybody yells happy birthday. They sing happy birthday, and she is so flabbergasted that she had to be helped to sit down. She was so amazed that anybody gave a damn. And so they partied and they had a great time. And after they all left, or after Andreana, she wanted to take her cake home. And she said, if you don't mind, I don't want to eat it here. I want to take it home. I want to look at it for a while. And I said, your cake. Do what you want. And she left. And Tony kind of sat there with the rest of them, and he thought, what are we going to do now? He says, I got an idea. Let's pray. And so they prayed for Andreana. They prayed for their safety. And then they left, and the owner of the place looked at her and said, I didn't know you were a preacher. What kind of preacher are you? All right? All this for this. Well, I guess I'm a preacher that throws birthday parties for whores and prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. Yeah. That's exactly what this story is about. You see, we have gotten it so screwed up as to who's supposed to be invited to church and who's got a place at the table. Because we've all decided that whores and prostitutes are bad people. We've decided that the tax collector that was a disciple for Jesus was a bad person. We've decided that if you don't have enough education, you're not a good enough person. But in fact, what this story is about is that the invitation is for you and for you and for you to come in and sit at the table. And I know that somebody out there right now listening to me is going to go, wait a minute, Pastor, that's all fine and good, but what about the dude that got judged? I don't want to deal with God if he's going to let me in and then kick my ass out. Here's the problem that we have with these stories. Folks, remember, this is a parable. And parables are what? Parables are symbolic, are they not? They're not, you don't take the actual action of it, you know, literally. So we got to peel back the onion a little bit. We understand what the first part of it's about, right? There's some people out there that are too lazy to come. They don't want to deal with the invitation. They got better things to do. We get all that symbolism. And we get the reality of the fact that God's invited us all. But what's that piece of a person who was invited in, comes in, sits down, and gets said, where's your wedding garment? You know, have you read Scripture? I'm always telling you all to tie these points together. How about Ephesians 6? And I looked it up for you this morning. Just so you didn't have to go find it.
You got my phone, so I can't.
Well, that's all right. You can listen to it.
Okay, good.
Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the scheme of the evil one. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in this heavenly place. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on that evil day, having done everything to stand firm. You see, the garment, the wedding garment, is what?
Armor.
Being faithful, having unconditional love. Oh, wait a minute. What is it that we have in our church? What is the garment that we dress everybody with? You all know what it is, do you not? To be fair, to be merciful, and to be humble in your relationship with God. When you walk into the table, you're not there to be the show. Amen? You're there to be with God. See, I had all these notes because I didn't know how I wanted to put it together. But it really comes down to this. We know that Jesus was going after the Pharisees, right? Because, you know, you peel this back, yeah, you know, they were dressed in all their finery, doing all this prayer and praise stuff in public and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus is like, you're not dressed right. Where's your mercy? Where's your ability to love? Where's your ability to give a drink of water? Where is your ability to give clothes to the naked? When was the last time you visited the sick or in prison? So, what do we mean then by many are called and few are chosen? Jesus here is referring to anyone who hears the gospel, and each person, this is how I titled this sermon, has to make a choice. Yes, everybody gets in. Nobody gets thrown out because they're unworthy. But you can't be at the table if you're not dressed in unconditional love, mercy, joy in your relationship with God. The Bible says that all are called or invited. No one is excluded. But the choice is yours. You see, it always comes down to the choice, folks. It isn't all these other people that are keeping you away from God. It isn't all these other people that have got control over your life. You're the one that has control over your life. That is the thing that we've been talking about pride for decades now. You don't get to control me. My life is my life. And God gave it to me, and you can't have it. God bless you.